Good morning. This is Moses Stolzfus, and I'm here to bring you the daily inspiration for the 30th day of this month. This week, this is the first in a series of messages that I would like to speak on commitment. And I'm not sure where it's going to take us all yet, but I'd like to give you a real-life story from the beginning. First of all, I'd like to look at, let's start with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just bow before you here this morning in the name of Jesus. And I do thank you this morning, dear God, that you are a God of love, truth, and mercy, and that we can depend on you. Even though we as human beings are not very dependable sometimes, and yet we know that you are very dependable and we can trust you. We know that you're there all the time. And we know that if we make a commitment to you that it is real, and you look at that and you understand. And you expect us to follow up. So here I am this morning, dear God. I just want to be a vessel. I want to be I want to make my mouth available to you this morning, dear God, my tongue, that you could speak through me, Lord, to edify, to exhort, and to bring comfort and joy to the hearts of the listeners, Lord. I pray, dear God, if the listeners are in need of a Savior, if they're in need of salvation, I pray that you might bring conviction to their heart through these messages this week, dear God. And if they just need some comfort and assurance, I pray that that could happen also, Lord. So I pray, Lord God, would you just be with me and guide me through this week that I might truly speak your words and not my own. So, Father, we do commit this into your hand and trust that you will have your way. Now, to get started here this morning, I'd like to just briefly go to Genesis 12:1, where God says to Abram, let's just read it. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Now we see here, and I may get back into these verses again later on this week. I'm not sure. I think I could probably make a message out of each one of these sections here, out of each one of these Bible characters, and I may come back to do that. But we see here Abraham's firm commitment and the blessings that followed. And, you know, I guess that's my desire this week, to just bring out the blessings, to show you the blessings that are in a firm commitment, and how that will take us further than many other things will. You know, if we have a firm commitment to something, it is lasting, it has foundation. So, again, I guess what I would like to see come out of this week is I would like to teach you that there is a foundation. The foundation first has to be laid, and as we look at some Bible characters this week, we see a foundation laid in the commitment that they had to God. So, the next one that I just would like to briefly mention here is Joshua. Joshua 24:15, "And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua's firm commitment and the blessings that followed. And yes, that commitment was made way back there. But we have the history to prove what followed. You know, how Joshua was a major character in the Bible, and how he was instrumental in leading the children of Israel, and how the children of Israel followed the Lord under Joshua's leadership and the blessings that followed. Okay, the next one is in Genesis 28:20, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in his way, in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God." This was Jacob's firm commitment, and we have all the history again that shows that this commitment brought a lot of fruit in Jacob's life. And not only in Jacob's life, but in for generations to come. "Then shall the Lord be my God." The next one I'd like to take a look at is Ruth 1:16. "And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Now here we see Ruth's firm commitment, and she became part of the lineage of Jesus. Now, we all are very familiar with this portion of Scripture. We hear it at the almost at every wedding, and now I would like to, and like I said before, I'm just skimming over these scriptures, and there could be a lot more to be said, but I just want to bring you a real life story now that happened to us, my wife and I, on September 8th. My wife told me about a house that was to be sold on Ridge Avenue. I did not pay any attention to her until she said she is going to go look at it. Then I said that she is not going without me. So we went together. Well, when we got there, it didn't take us long until we realized that this was our dream house, almost to a T. And of course, I imagine that everyone has a dream house, that especially maybe women more so than men, but I had a dream house, and we had a dream house, so we kind of had in mind, and we thought we'd you know, keep our eyes open, you know, in case the dream house comes along, that maybe we'd take a look at it. Well, here was a rancher with a nice big kitchen living room with plenty of room for a big extension table, a big finished basement with a kitchenette and bedroom, a big laundry room, and a huge two-car garage. All this on a two-acre lot with road frontage on two sides and woods on another side. Plenty of room for family camping and reunions on the premises. All on a ridge with a beautiful view towards the south. And only then, after we had looked at this house, did I realize that the auction was less than a week away. We went home, and we started dreaming, and a vision started forming. And of course, you know, like visions are, we tend to roll this thing around in our mind, anyway, I contacted the auctioneer and found out what our property that we own right now would be worth, and we looked at the possibilities, and we just rolled this thing over in our mind, and it really was a a major thing for a few days, and finally we realized that, hey, this is doable. We could buy this house. And so the financing company was contacted, and they approved the loan for a certain amount of money, and we prayed, and the Lord gave us a number. The Lord gave us a dollar amount that we should pay for this house. And, okay. All right, thank you, Lord. So we made a commitment to the Lord. And that, you know, this is the number that we're going to go up to. We're going to bid this property up to this number. And if it's anything over, it's not the Lord's will. If it's anything under that, or up into this number, then it's God's will that we buy this house. So, we went to this auction with that in mind. And it became a very firm commitment in our minds. The bidding started promptly at 5 p.m. on September the 15th, 2012. The bidding started at $250,000. And anyway, I'm not going to disclose all the numbers here, but we pray. The bidding started at $250,000, and it slowed down. So I put in a bid, and then auctioneer worked and he worked and he worked, and I put in another bid, and okay, this was my last bid. And I knew, I think I only put in two bids, and I knew that that I'm finished. This was the number that God had given me, and so there was no more. I mean, the auctioneer tried his best to get another bid out of me, but I was finished. And so now it was in God's hands, and he kept trying to get more bids and more bids, and, well, finally he did get another bid. And then he got another one, and I realized, oh, this is not God's will for us. And here was a vision and a death of a vision, all in 1 week's time. And what I really learned about this is commitment. There is a commitment. If we are just willing to make a commitment, we were able to go to this auction without any butterflies. You know, we knew that, okay, we'll get the property if it's God's will. And if it's not God's will, we won't get it. But we went in complete confidence that God will have his way, and at the very moment that God will reveal his will to us. And we walked away from that auction with a complete rest and peace without any regrets. And to me, that was a very beautiful lesson that God showed me. He showed me the value of a commitment. And what I would like for all of you to get is the value of a commitment. If we would have had it gone to that auction and had left it open-ended and said, well, let's see how much it'll bring. And we would not have had a commitment in our minds as to how much God would have us to pay for it, then the temptation to overbid would have been very strong, because we really did like that property and we wanted it very bad. And God's will would not have been so clear. Some people think they need a whisper direct from God, but I say that a firm commitment in our own hearts is a much more sure way to find God's will. We don't need a little man sitting on our shoulders to whisper to us every detail of life. But if we have a firm commitment in our heart, this will give God the chance to show himself strong. And, you know, this commitment thing applies in many areas of our life, even in making a decision to serve God. I wonder how many people that say they want to try the Jesus way end up as a true Christian. But on the other hand, many of those who make a firm commitment will find themselves walking peacefully with Jesus all the days of their life. Just look at history and see the firm commitment that great men of God made. It was that commitment that helped them walk through many fiery trials. It was that commitment that caused Abraham to be willing to offer his son as a burnt sacrifice. It was that commitment that caused Joseph to remain pure when faced with temptation and to patiently endure separation from family, life in a strange land, life in a prison. And we could mention many more. Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all the Anabaptists that were tortured and killed. The Bible calls it faith. But you know what? It starts with a firm commitment to God. It starts with a firm commitment to God. So my encouragement to you this morning is that you make a firm commitment to God and let that carry you through life. God bless you, and hope to be back again tomorrow morning to give you more lessons on commitment.